Hi, I'm Gabby. I'm a drug addict. I'm just going to say it was awesome being on the planning committee for the conference this year. I was the secretary, and, like, it was a life-changing experience. And Derek and I were laughing yesterday because I literally hadn't started to raise a child since we started planning this. And just to see it come from start to finish, it's awesome. But our next speaker, she actually has taught me so much. I met her at a DAA meeting when I was maybe 2 months sober, and she has always been a shining example of the 12th step for me, right? And so it's so fitting that tonight she is speaking on 11 and 12. You know, I'm blessed enough to have her as my sponsor, and she has been a guiding light in not only raising me in this fellowship, but teaching me how to live a life, how to be a mother, how to be a good person, you know, and I'm so excited to hear what Catherine has to say.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? Good. Okay. I'm Catherine. I'm a drug addict. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you again for everyone that asked me to speak. I lost my voice a little bit, so just bear with me. But, you know, it's so crazy to be standing in front of you today. You know, my sobriety date is August 26, 2014. I just celebrated 5 years, which is a huge miracle. You know, for so long I couldn't stop using drugs and alcohol, you know. Right before I came down to Florida, I was homeless. My parents wanted nothing to do with me. I had no friends. So I was a complete lone wolf, you know, and all I wanted to do was die. And every morning that I woke up, I was still alive. I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why can't I just die? Why can't I just die? But today I don't have that mindset anymore. You know, today I literally do live a life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I'm a mom today to two beautiful little girls over there. I'm married over a year and a half. You know, this program has given me so many amazing blessings, and it's all because of my relationship with God, which is what I'm to talk to you about today. And it actually says perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life. So it's crazy to think that I'm the one that's talking to you guys about that, because coming into this program, I had no relationship with a God of my understanding, you know. And today I have a beautiful relationship, and that relationship is number one in my life. It comes before my husband, it comes before my children, it comes before my sponsor, my sponsees. God is everything. You know, and the book says God is everything or he's nothing. What was our choice to be? You know, God is my everything. So I kind of wanted to talk to you guys today a little bit about 10, 11, and 12 and, you know, applying those in my life on a daily basis. And the life I do live is because of these 12 steps, you know, and it all started with, you know, my first sponsor taking me through this book page by page, you know, line by line, word by word. And she really made this program come alive. And, you know, like at first, growing up, I didn't have a relationship with God. My parents didn't really talk about prayer or God or anything. We went to church Christmas and Easter. That was it. So I really didn't have, you know, any relationship at all, really an understanding. And so it wasn't until, you know, I got into this book and I saw the other women that came before me in the meetings and even the men, and I saw them living their life, you know, and I wanted to have the smiles that they had, the laughter that they had. I wanted that so bad. And my first sponsor was like, well, you have to do what I do, you know? And I did that. I did exactly what she told me to do. I took all those suggestions. And here I am 5 years later, you know? So, you know, I kind of want to harp on, you know, step nine, making amends, right? Amends in my life. I've made so many amazing amends, and I have a cool story I'll tell you in a little bit. But making those amends, the freedom that we get, the feeling that we get, regardless if they go good or not, you know, is like no other. And at the end of the nine-step promises, it says we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, you know. And for me, looking back, God has done so many things for me that I could never even imagine, you know, and put me in so many situations and got me through so many different things. Recently, some people in this room know my father passed away, sorry if I tear up, a month and a half ago. And I've shared this before, and I'll continue to keep sharing it because it's a miracle of this program. It's a miracle of God. When I first came in this program, I told my sponsor that one of my reservations, one of the reasons I would totally get high again, is if one of my siblings or parents passed away. You know, that was my thing. If my mom or dad passed away, I cannot handle it. I'm going to go shoot dope. Like, I can't do this. You know, and my dad passed away, and that was not even a thought in my mind whatsoever. You know, my thought in my mind was, I know where my dad's going today. My dad's in heaven. My dad's at home. And I was able to make an amends to him. The feeling that I got making that amends face to face and, you know, finally becoming the daughter that he, you know, knew I could be, right? The daughter that God always intended me to be. And, you know, making that amends face to face was really a freeing thing. And, you know, I want to share this other little story too, because it's about God. But right before my dad passed away, he was in hospice at my parents' house, and it's just a short one. And right before he passed away, my mom was saying to him, "Say hi to my father and your father for me," and because they had passed away years ago. And you know, then a little tear came down his eye, and he closed his eyes and he went. And a little later on, my mom called hospice to come get my father so they could, you know, take him. And they said, okay, we're going to send two little old men named Charlie and Bob. And my dad's father's name was Charlie, and my mom's father's name was Bob. So God sent my mom's father and my dad's father there to take my dad. And if that's not God, then I don't know what is, you know? And I've had so many other amazing experiences like that, and I think it's all because of this program. But anyway, you know, leading into and making those amends, and we get into step 10. It says, we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. Vigorously commence. This means that this is a thing I do on a daily basis, and I better get to work with it, you know. And step 10 to me was taught as like my walking around spot check, you know, checking myself and seeing where I'm wrong and checking in with my sponsor or a sponsee, you know, if I owe an amends, to make that amends. If I'm full of fear, to ask God to remove that, whatever the case may be, you know, it's throughout the day checking that so that I don't have to do 11 step at night. A lot of people get 10 and 11 confused. And for step 11, it's, I write mine. And nowhere in the book does it say to write your 11th step, but I write mine. New writing is a form of meditation for me. This book is literally an outline for everything. And it gives us a night inventory and a morning inventory and prayers. And it tells us exactly what to do. Like, literally, if we follow this book line by line, we can have this beautiful way of life, you know? And it's that simple. But for us drug addicts, you know, we try to make it completely complicated, you know? And I can definitely tell you that when I don't incorporate these steps, when I don't incorporate my step 11 or my spot check with 10 or prayer meditation, any of that, I am freaking crazy. You know, you can ask my husband. Sometimes I get a little, you know, when I don't have God in my life. But when I put him first and I do the right thing, you know, my day seems to go wonderfully. But, you know, on continuing with step 10, for me, I struggled, especially after I had children. I kind of was like, oh, I have this in the bag. You know, like, I'm doing really great. I'm a mom now. I'm a wife. Like, everything's wonderful. And there's a part where it says it's easy to live up on our spiritual program of action and rest in our laurels. So for me, I had all these accomplishments, right? You know, I have a job. I'm doing wonderful. I'm paying bills. I'm a mom. I have sponsees, this, that, and the other. But I wasn't really, you know, working on my relationship with God in meditation. You know, I wasn't doing any of that. I was just kind of like doing the bare minimum to get by. And I'm telling everyone else what they need to do, especially my sponsees, and realizing like, my own house is not in order. And I really need to get, you know, back on track with that. And so, you know, what I did first was I got on my knees and I asked God to help me with that, which is what this program tells us to do. It says, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. You know, that's something that I try to do on a daily basis. You know, it's really easy to, you know, get off track, or really easy to let things, you know, get in my mind that gets me off track or whatever. But I know I need to, when I'm not doing the right thing, or when I'm feeling a little crazy or squirrely or whatever, I know that I need to, you know, ask God for help and guidance with that. And he always pulls through. You know, in this book, multiple times it tells us, you know, to seek God. And when we do that, he provides. It's that simple, but I just have to ask. You know, early when I came into this program, meditation, I was probably like 7 or 8 months sober, when I realized that, you know, I was putting God first in most areas of my life, but not every area, you know. And my sponsor was like, you really need to start turning everything over to God, not just your finances or not just your relationships, everything. You know, I needed to get in the passenger seat and let God drive the car, you know. And so when I did that, I started to incorporate meditation in my life. slowly but surely. And right before I turned a year sober, I met my now husband. And this is really how my meditation started to really take place. But I always like to share this because it's kind of funny, but it's my story. So when I started seeing my now husband, he was really into prayer meditation, like really into it. And I'm like, well, I guess I should be really into it too, since he is, you know. And so we would meditate together in the mornings. And I remember he would have his eyes closed, and I'd be like peeking over at him to see how he'd be like meditating and how he'd be like holding his hands and stuff. I'm like, I gotta copy him. I gotta do the right thing. And then I realized that I needed to find my own meditation the way that I wanted to do it for myself. You know, and today him and I incorporate meditation in our life. We pray together, we meditate together, we do it separately, we do it with our sponsees. It's a huge part of our life and our relationship and our marriage. We wouldn't be the parents that we are today if we didn't have that, you know. And it always makes me sad when I hear people in meetings when they say, I don't know how to meditate, or I don't really do meditation, it's just not my thing. Like, it says prayer and meditation for step 11, like it's together. You know, and for me, it's, you know, prayer is asking God, but meditation is listening. And if I'm just asking God for all these things and not listening, then what's the point of even asking? You know, then I'm just going to put my own will into it. You know, I'm not listening to God. And there's so many different ways to do it. And, you know, it just, I hope that everyone, you know, incorporates that in their life, however they, however that looks for them, you know. And step 12. You know, prayer and meditation, again, is a huge part of my life. And step 12, giving back to other alcoholics and sponsoring other women, it kind of incorporates 10, 11, 12 into all of that, you know. And I remember when I first got my first sponsee, you know, I knew that going through the steps, you know, the main reason was to give back what we've been given. You know, and I can't keep that if I don't give it away. And I remember telling my first sponsor, like, no one's going to want me to sponsor them. Like, I am not worthy of sponsoring people. I have nothing to offer them, you know, like, yada, yada, yada. And at the time, I didn't even have a car. You know, I barely had anything. And my sponsor was like, you finished the steps, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you had a spiritual awakening, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you have a relationship with God, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, there you go. She's like, all it is, all you are is a spiritual guide through the steps. That's all I am as a sponsor. You know, I'm not a financial advisor, a relationship, you know, advisor, any of that. You know, I'm just a guide. And I did exactly what my first sponsor did, and I do exactly what my now sponsor has taught me, you know. My sponsor now sponsors a million women, you know, and she's constantly giving back. And, it just motivates me to continue to do the same thing. So my first sponsee, it was very nerve-wracking. But today, like, it's such a bright spot of my life. You know, and on step 12, it says that, you know, and it talks about life will taking on new meaning. And my life has taken on new meaning today. To have a purpose for so long, like, all my purpose, I thought, was just to get high, you know. And then eventually, hopefully, like, I would die and I wouldn't have to live this miserable life anymore. You know, and even before I picked up drugs and alcohol, like, it was, I never felt like I had a meaning or a purpose. Like, I always felt discontent in my own skin. You know, I'm sure a lot of us can feel that way. And I was constantly searching for that hole in my soul that my sponsor talks about that. You know, the hole in her soul. And, like, early on, I filled it with, you know, self-harm. And then it was guys. And then, of course, drugs and alcohol. And that was, like, the meaning to everything. You know, once I picked up, it was, like, no turning back. You know, and you know, for so long, I thought that was my problem. It was the guys. It was the drugs. It was the alcohol. It was the shopping. No, my problem is myself. You know, I'm the one that's insane. I'm the one that really needs help. You know, and this program, you know, has an outline to be able to do that, to be able to change us into, you know, the women and the men that God's intended us to be. And so, you know, the women that I have in my life today, at first when I started sponsoring them, you know, we didn't have a relationship at all. And today we're best friends, you know, and they babysit my children. They've become moms themselves. And to see the light go off in their eyes, you know, there's been so many times where I've taken sponsees. You know, we've been in a Dunkin' Donuts. Or we've been outside in downtown Stewart, for example, and we've gotten our knees in front of everyone. I'm like, all right, we're saying this third step prayer right here, right now. Let's do it, you know. And then in the Dunkin' Donuts bathroom, let's go in this dirty bathroom and get on our knees. God doesn't care where we meet him, you know. He just wants us to meet him. You know, to say that I actually do that, get on my knees with another woman, was so, is so crazy to even say. I remember when I'm from a small town, Shortstown, Pennsylvania, if anyone knows where that is. And I was introduced to AA, you know, years back. And I knew that this whole program was about God. I knew this whole program, they called it spiritual. I knew all of that. I just really wasn't willing to, I didn't think it worked for me. I guess I thought I was one of those terminally unique people. But my first, you know, sponsor in Pennsylvania, I remember when we did our third step prayer and we got on our knees, I'm like, these people are freaking crazy. You know, these little chants that they're saying, these little prayers, like, this is so awkward. Like, I cannot do this, you know, and I totally was selling myself short, and I wasn't open to the idea at all. You know, I wasn't open to the idea of, you know, a spiritual way of life. And today I am, you know, and, there's one of these paragraphs in Working With Others that I really love, and it says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. No matter what your present circumstances, you know, again, with, say with my father passing away, like, I'm living this wonderful life, like, I'm at peace with it, you know, it's sad, you know, I cry about it a lot, but I'm at peace, I know where God is, you know, I've had friends pass away from this disease, you know, this disease is so real, it's so, you know, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful, and, like, but I've stayed sober, you know, and, my twin brother is one of us, and, in Easter, almost 2 years ago, yeah, maybe a little over 2 years ago, he overdosed and almost died. And I remember when I first came down here, I would try to press this program on him. You know, I'm like, no, this program is great. Like, this is the answer for you. And, like, I was doing it wrong. You know, it's about attraction, not promotion. You know, when I stopped doing that and I just lived the way that I was living, right? And even though he was in Pennsylvania and I was here, he could hear it in my voice that things had changed, that I had an awakening, you know, that I wasn't the same person. So when he overdosed that Easter and almost died, he called me, you know, he called me and he asked for help and he knew where to turn. And that's what we're here for, you know, we're here to change, we're here to have that spiritual awakening, then we're here to give back that message, you know, and it's saddening too when people don't sponsor other people, they say they don't have the time. That's the whole point of this. What's the point of working the 12 steps if you're not giving it away, if you're not helping others? You know, like, so, you know, what my sponsor was saying, you know, last night, so many people are out there dying, left and right. You know, we see it every day. And we're in a meeting, and something that I even don't do that well, you know, it talks about carrying the message to the drug addict and alcoholic, to them. We don't wait for them to come to us, we carry it to them. And I, you know, I'm that person sometimes that sits back and I'm like, no, they'll come to me, I'll wait for them. No, like, they're so scared. Remember how we felt when we were first sitting in those rooms? I mean, at least for me, you know, having to ask another woman to sponsor me. I mean, that was so crazy. It took me a little while to ask someone because I was so nervous. You talk about, like, it's like asking someone on a date, you know? And, but I did it. I did it because I had no other option. I did it because I had tried every other way, you know? And none of those ways were working. Catherine's way was no longer working. And, you know, again, like I said, I saw people in the rooms doing the right thing and happy and joyous and free. And I wanted that. So I did what they did. You know, and so it's our job. You know, we don't take anything from my message today. I hope it's at least to go and reach out to the newcomer. You know, and even if they already have a sponsor, even if they don't want one, just be there for them. You know, give them your number. Show them this way of life because, you know, again, it's a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease, you know. And that's another thing, the fact that we suffer from a spiritual malady. I thought that was so crazy to me to even think that. Like, I'm suffering from not having, you know, that powerful relationship with God, as well as the body and mind, you know. But I just, the fact that this has been here for years, and I just thought that I was terminally unique and thought that this wasn't going to work for me, and it does. You know, it truly, truly does. You know, I'm trying to think what else I kind of want to share with you guys. You know, back to step 11. I kind of wanted to harp a little bit on what it says on page 86 or 88. And my sponsor, again, had me do that early on, like right away. And so you can totally do that even before you get to that step. At least that's what she told me. And I started to incorporate that right away because, again, like when we first come in, you know, we don't have that solution yet. You know, we're feeling restless, irritable, and discontent. And what do? To get rid of that, we get high. And I can no longer get high anymore. So I'm like, what do I do to get rid of this? Well, we have to dive into this program. Well, we have to pray. Well, we have to meditate. And I'm like, that's the only answer. Is there anything else that I could do? You know, I really don't want to, you know, I didn't want that answer. But that was the truth, you know. And so I did that. I prayed. I meditated. And, you know, my life changed. But I want to harp on something else on those pages. Pardon me. It says here, be quick to see religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Throughout this book, it talks about medical doctors. It talks about religious people. It talks about all these things. And not to be prejudiced on those things. You know, this program, it gives us that initial freedom, but it also tells us to keep searching, to keep seeking. You know, not just to stop here. I feel like a lot of people just stop here. But there's so much more out there. There's so many more books to read. I mean, there's so many different things. And for me, my story, I went to the, you know, I found a church that I liked and I attended that and I grew more spiritually with God, you know, and that, I met other women in that from my church and I started doing book studies with that and my life completely changed. Like, I've had so many crazy experiences in church. I've had so many crazy experiences in meditation. You know, so many things that God opened my eyes to. You know, He really, truly did. And I never thought this would be the life that I have. I really never thought it. But it is. And even becoming a mother, that's like a whole other spiritual experience. You know, having a baby. I mean, that's crazy, but God chose me to be a mom. And some people know this about my story, but in my addiction, I had an abortion, and I told myself that I would never, ever, you know, God would never grant me another child. You know, I was not going to ever be a mom again, you know, because I ruined that chance, and I wasn't worthy, you know, and God saw a different plan. God truly saw a different plan, you know, and today I have a wonderful 3-year-old and a 2-month-old, and I can't believe that they're mine. I can't believe this is the life. And each one of you people can have this life. Even if you know, maybe not the exact life that I have, but just a life of freedom. A life of where we no longer have to drink and use, you know? And like I was saying, my life, I was completely homeless. I was hopeless. You know, my aunt was carrying me up the steps of a place called Mountain Manor in Baltimore, Maryland. And I was shitting and puking all over myself and all over her. And I wanted to freaking die. And here I am standing in front of you, you know. I literally thought that there was no other way out. And when I was in that detox that transferred me down here, I was there for 3 days before I had showered and before I had ate. And when I finally got a meal in me and a shower in me, I found myself falling to my knees and praying. And why did I do that? You know, today I know that the seed was planted when I was in AA in the past. Today I know that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know, and He put me on the plane and I came to Florida and I never thought that I would live down here. I never thought that I would make a life down here. But I did. I did. You know, and I thought that I would go down for like the long-term treatment. You know, they were like, oh, 6 months to a year. And I'm like, okay, I'll do like the 30 days and then like the halfway house they talk about and then like maybe get my own place for a little bit and then move back home. You know, but that wasn't the plan. And I've made a home today. I've made a support group. You know, I have amazing women in my life, which was something that I was not friends with women. You know, I was very intimidated by them, very fearful of them. So I kind of surrounded myself with men and really just kind of, you know, stuck to myself. And it wasn't until this program introduced me to some amazing, strong women, you know, which many of them today are my sponsees and my sponsor and amazing people. You know, it's so crazy that we have a program like this. I think about my mom, and I think about my family, and how they don't have a relationship with God. You know, they're struggling. How does my mom process the death of her husband? I don't know, because she doesn't believe in a relationship with God. She has none. you know, and I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful that it's led me to the relationship with God, the most loving, amazing relationship. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I was one of these people in the rooms that would roll my eyes and people would talk about it. And I would get so angry, like, what are they, this God thing is so stupid. But it's not. It's truly not. If you don't want to call it God, call it higher power. Call it whatever the heck you want. But don't make it a doorknob, people, because you have power over that doorknob. You have power over that. Power greater than yourself, however that looks. You know, but we have a way out. We have that freedom. You know, I was looking for that for so long, and I found it. You know, we found it today. It's a huge miracle for us to be in this room, to be sober, to be clean, and not be, you know, shooting dope or smoking crack or whatever your preference was. You know, literally, like, I thought I was just going to die a dope head. You know, I'm just going to shoot heroin for the rest of my life. And the fact to even think of the person that I was, you know, and the person that I am now, like, I don't regret anything that's happened to me. It's just a shock that I put myself in those situations. And God always got me out of those situations. Always. You know, those horrid places, the dark places that we thought we would never go, that I did. And God got me out. He always said he was always there doing for me again what I couldn't do for myself. And I can't believe it. So, you know, on a daily basis, I try to apply these steps in my life, especially 10, 11, and 12. You know, again, with my spot and my spot check, checking myself throughout the day. With my 11, my prayer and meditation. I mean, that is huge, people. Huge. Huge, huge, huge. Growing spiritually. You know, we don't want to stay stagnant. There's a part, actually, that made me just think of this. A part and a vision for you, which my sponsees and I like to read this a lot. But it kind of makes you think what I've talked about. And it's a second paragraph down. It says, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. It was told to me that trudge means to walk with purpose. You know, and I have that purpose today. I have that purpose to be a woman of God, to be a sponsor, to be a sponsee, to be a mom, to be a wife. You know, I finally have that, you know, that hole in my soul is finally filled, you know, with God first. And once God's in there, all these other amazing miracles, you know, happen. But again, here it says, you know, I can't keep what I have if my own house isn't in order. So I have to do these things on a daily basis. It's not just like once in a while or like once a week or, you know, I'll just do it on Mondays and Fridays. No, like it's an everyday thing. And I'm not perfect. There's some days, again, where I don't do it and I totally feel it. You know, and people around me can feel the wrath. But I know where to turn to. You know, I know what the answer is for me. And I'm grateful again for this program and for a way out. And that, you know, I don't have to wake up anymore thinking about when I'm going to get my next fix or who I'm going to rob or what I'm going to do to get that money. And that was like the worst job in the world, the toughest job in the world, you know, to have to always find that money to get what we needed. Like, thank God we don't have to do that anymore. You know, I wake up and I don't have a hangover. I'm not dope sick. I wake up because my child's staring at me in the face saying, Mommy, wake up. Or my two-month-old's crying or whatever. You know, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of this life. You know, I don't have to wake up anymore in crack houses or on the side of the, you know, the street on a bench. Like, that's not where my life is anymore. You know, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for the people that came before me. I'm grateful for this program. And even the fact that there's this program, DAA, I think that's amazing too. You know, I'm part of AA, but I've been going to a lot more DAA meetings, and I just think it's amazing, especially that they use this book, The Solution, you know. And I'm grateful for all of you that have listened to me speak, you know. And again, the one thing that I hope you take from my message is the fact that God comes first in everything. Right? God is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? He's everything or he's nothing. And to carry this message to everyone that, you know, that needs it, that think might need it, that they may not think they want it, but give it to them anyway, you know, again, it's a cunning, baffling disease, and it's our job to just carry this message and hopefully save one alcoholic one day at a time. And God uses the vessel to do that. So I guess I'm going to kind of end there. So thank you for letting me share.